Okay, so I decided to begin a new series of topics called Life in the Heights. Now, Life in the Heights basically will talk about halachic issues that come up in the Heights. By the way, this is the Heights, in case you haven't figured it out. We still call it Washington Heights. Some people call it Hudson Heights. Some people live in Hudson Heights, we know. But whatever it is...
Washington.
The issues that we're going to talk about are halachic issues that come up in the Heights. I put on the sign a bunch of topics that we'll discuss. Questions, for example, of yichud. Right, the Heights tends to be a community with lots of singles, men and women being alone together. That's going to be a big issue. We'll talk about, obviously, for some people, this is their first opportunity to, let's say, make Shabbos meals on their own. Well, how exactly do you do this chulin thing? Or whatever, we'll discuss that. We will also discuss our community, Eruv. We will also discuss, what else? What happens when one of your roommates is non-observant? That's like a more recent Heights question. We'll talk about that. But I figured that I would start with some topics that are relevant in the Heights, but are also relevant in other communities on this planet. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight is called Amira Lanachri. I wanted to call it, what may I ask Nick to do? What may I not ask Nick to do on Shabbos? If you don't know Nick, you're missing out. Nick is our super in the show. Nick is awesome. Right? We love Nick. If you look on the show's Facebook page, you can see pictures of Nick repairing the Eruv, climbing up on the ladder. He's a superstar. We love him. Now, pictures were taken before Shabbos. Now,
he's fixing the Eruv. They're happy.
We'll talk about that also. Okay, well, I will divulge all the secrets. Now, the question that we're going to discuss tonight is Amira Lanachri, which is, what may I ask a non-Jew to do on Shabbos? What may I not ask a non-Jew to do on Shabbos? I could not make Amira Lanachri only one shir, so I have to continue for next week. But we're going to limit it to two, I hope. We're going to limit it to two. In other words, what we'll talk about tonight are what's the background for Amira Lanachri, just in order to understand what's permitted and what's not permitted. We have to have some background information, right? And we'll also talk about specifically cases when someone is ill, right? Cases when someone is sick. Just as I was walking here tonight, I get the following email from someone in the shul. Let me read you this email because... So you shouldn't think I'm making stuff up. Dear Rabbi Schwartz, hi, it's so-and-so. I'm somewhere at the moment. I can't text or call, but I needed to ask a question. My mom is having an important surgery done this Shabbat. By the time it will be over in America, it will be Shabbos here. May I check my phone to see if she is okay and the surgery went well? Right? So that's a question. Now again, this question doesn't have to only be in the Heights. This question could be anywhere, but it comes up a lot in the Heights that we get questions of asking a non-Jew in a situation when someone is ill. So now let's get into it quickly. We'll try to go through some of the background information briefly, and after we have some of the background information, so then we will try to plug it in to questions of Amira Lanachri when someone is sick. The earliest source of the prohibition. First of all, is Amira Lanachri, is it a Torah prohibition or rabbinic prohibition? Asking a non-Jew to do stuff for you on the Holy Sabbath.
Rabbinic.
Correct.
It's rabbinic prohibition?
Yeah. It's forbidden to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. I can't ask a non-Jew.
People do it all the time.
Right! And we're going to discuss when is it permitted and when is it not permitted.
There's a hinting and the...
We'll discuss all of the details, I hope, but briefly. Okay. We already discussed it 6 years ago, right, if you remember, but we'll get into it. Now, most assume that Amira Lanachri is a rabbinic prohibition. However, there is a verse in the Pentateuch. That's the Chumash, right? The Torah in the context of Pesach. The Torah reads, next week's parasha, on Bo. By Yom HaRishon Mikra Kodesh, the first day of Pesach is a holiday, the seventh day of Pesach is a holiday. Kol melacha lo ye'aseh vahem. What does kol melacha lo ye'aseh vahem mean? All melacha should not be done. Says Rashi, afilo ayidei acherim. meaning someone should not do work for me on Shabbos. That sounds like there is a Torah prohibition for someone to do work for me on Shabbos, and that someone presumably is not a Jew, because if it's a Jew, then there's a Torah, the Jew can't do work on Shabbos for the Jew, right? So the Jew can't do work on Shabbos for me also. But it means, presumably, a non-Jew can't do work on Shabbos for me. And that's Rashi's comment. It sounds like there's a Torah prohibition. So everyone jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and they say, what are you talking about? Right? Tosfos in Chumash asks, Kasha lahare Moshe, de b'Shabbos aminon tamira la'akom shfus midrabanon, v'hocha mashma min ha'Torah. Right? So Tosfos asks, Rashi sounds like Amir la'akom is a Torah prohibition, but we know throughout all of Shas that Amir la'akom is only drabonon. So Tosis answers when Rashi says Ayidei Acherim, that means with his kids. That's very interesting, by the way. Even though there's only a rabbinic prohibition to have a non-Jew do work for you on Shabbos, but everyone agrees it's a Torah prohibition for my kids to do work for me on Shabbos. Lo saseh chom ilacha ata uvincha uvitecha. Right? It's a common thing in certain communities, maybe even in the Heights, that you live on a high floor. Now, to get down from the high floor in Shabbos is difficult, right?
To get
back up might not be as hard, because it's more likely that the elevator is going to be on the first floor than the elevator is going
to
be on the 18th floor. So you could walk down, true, and it's easier to walk down than to walk up, agreed. But what do you do? Now, the practice in many communities is that you have a kid. Or, I'll say it like this. In certain communities, it's known that the elevator man, do some of these buildings in the Heights actually have elevator men also? No?
Not very
many. One or two, in the olden days. I think 360 Cabrini has an elevator man.
Really?
Yeah.
The last one before the river.
The last one, 360 Cabrini, I think, has an elevator man. I think there are some buildings in the Heights that have elevators, and that's more common, let's say, in other communities like the West Side. And they are going up and down on Shabbos by having an elevator man. What?
Castle Village.
Castle Village has an elevator man, right?
A concierge.
Okay. Yes. So they're going up and down with having someone push a button for them on Shabbos. What's the story with that? Well, next week we'll discuss that maybe if I'm going to do a mitzvah, Amir La'akum is permitted. If I'm going up to eat my Shabbos meal, I'm going down to go to Shul, that's permitted. Okay, that's great. But let's say I live on the 18th floor. Well, the Heights buildings only go to the 7th floor. Let's say I live on the 7th floor. How do I get down? So I need the elevator to get up to my floor for me to get down. So in some communities, the practice has developed that you have a kid, before Bar Bat Mitzvah, push the button. No? One of my friends went to try out to be a rabbi in one of these communities, and after lunch, they send the kid, and they say, wink, wink, we need to get downstairs. That, by the way, is the worst chinuch.
Yeah.
No? You're telling a kid, I'm bar mitzvah, I can't push the button. You, right, you're not yet bar bat mitzvah, you push it for me. Terrible. Yeah. Not only is it terrible, that's an isser d'oraisa, it's not rabbinic. Right? It's better if a guy pushes, if you tell a guy directly to push the button for you. That's rabbinic. Right? If the kid pushes the button for you, that is lo sasecho melacha ata uvincha uvitecha. Your son or your daughter. You're sending your kid to do a melacha for you.
So in Hasidic communities
with the kids carrying the talis, it's a big problem. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out in the tshuva that maybe if the kid is carrying something that the kid will use for himself, and also something for mom or dad, that's better. But if the kid is carrying it only for you, we are of gehak to tzaras. So, issue one, I don't know if it's life in the Heights or why the Heights in some ways is preferred, is like the kids don't push the buttons. Okay, fine. So basically, Tosis asks on Rashi, Rashi, you're telling me that Amir La'akum sounds like it's the Oraisa, but we know it's the Rabbanon. So Tosis answers, then we say it is the Oraisa, it means with your kids. Right? Aye, with your kids, it's Lo Sasa Kom Lacha to Vincho Vitecha. So it answers, that's only on Shabbos. But on Yontiv, it's going to be Aser based on Lo Ye Aser. That's what Tosis answers. And the Ramban also asks a question on Rashi, the same idea. Everyone asks on Rashi, Rashi, you're telling me that there's a Torah prohibition for a guy to do work for you on Shabbos, but we know it's not true. And when all the dust settles, if you look in the Mishnah Brura over here, the Mishnah Brura comments that the prohibition of sending a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos is a rabbinic prohibition. But asmichuhu akra, they find a source for it in the pasuk. It's an asmachta. They find some reference in the pasuk of kol malacha lo ye'aseh. It doesn't say lo saseh, meaning that even a non-Jew should not do it for you. Now there is, however, one opinion in Rishonim called the Smag that Amir la'akum is the Oraisa, based on this source of kol malacha lo ye'aseh. And the Smag, right, by the way, who was the Smag, when and where did he live? Before Moshe Rabbeinu, after, before Moshe Feinstein, after, right? So he's after Moshe Rabbeinu, before Moshe Feinstein, so far so good. The Smag was also named Moshe. He was named Moshe Hadarshan. He was a 13th century preacher in France. He walked around giving people mussar, and the mussar that the Smag gave people is, gentlemen, you have an obligation to wear tefillin. How come you're not doing that? You have an obligation to have a mezuzah in your house. How come you're not doing that? People who think that American Jewry is not as religious as... Right? In the time of the Smag, Jews did not have mezuzahs on their homes. Now, that might have been because they were worried about pigs. And the pigs would dirty the mezuzah, defile it. There were pigs. What?
Must have been worried about anti-Semitism.
I don't know, maybe. Apparently, the way it's described is that they're worried about pigs. And the tefillin is because they had a very high notion of what it means that you require a clean body to wear tefillin. So therefore, the people didn't wear tefillin. But the Smag was not fond of this. The Smag assumes that there's a Torah prohibition of Amir al-Nahri. Now, in this book that I brought tonight, the Malachim Umnayach, this is like the work that people use on Amir al-Nahri. It's written by Rebbe Yoshev's son-in-law, Rebbe Yitzchak Zoberstein. Rebbe Yitzchak Zoberstein is a character and a half. I always imagined that the Shabbos and Yontif meals at Rebbe Yoshev's house must have been like really weird, because you have Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky, who is Rebbe Yoshev's son-in-law. Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky is like the ultimate straight man, no? The guy like only learns. Rebbe Yitzchak Zoberstein is like, he's a wackadoodle. He's like totally out there. He has like the weirdest questions in Judaism, right?
My kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, Frida. He's right, but maybe. I mean, so Yitzchak Zoberstein is a little bit of a wackadoodle, but he develops the idea that Amir al-Nahri is extremely strict as a prohibition. For example, there's a case in Shulchan Aruch that used to exist but's no longer correct. Let's say there's a fire. Let's say there's a fire in an apartment. So technically speaking, in Shulchan Aruch, you're not even allowed to ask a non-Jew directly to put it out. You have to hint at the non-Jew. If you put it out, you won't lose anything. That's a technical halakha. Today...
Wait, you mean a fire department fire or a cooking fire?
A fire department fire. Today, we don't assume that way. Today, we assume, and this today goes back already to the 16th century, we assume that because we live in such cramped quarters, any fire is pekuach nefesh. In an apartment building, okay? Life in the Heights. In an apartment building, if there's a fire, what do?
Put it out.
Call the cops. Put it out. Call the fire department. Put it out quickly. I was once at a Shabbos meal at Rabbi Sabalovsky years ago. Rabbi Sabalovsky is a Rebbe in YU now. Years ago at a Shabbos meal at Rabbi Sabalovsky's house. And we're like telling different Torah at the meal, whatever it is. And suddenly we hear like a buzzing sound. So Rabbi Sabalovsky looks up for a second. He walks over and he turns off the light. Like a hornet, like some big bug landed in one of the light fixtures and started to, like fizzle? You know, how do you say it? Like, fizzle, right?
Sizzle.
Thank you. Started to sizzle. So Sabalowski goes over, turns the light off. So I'm like, whoa, Rabbi, like, come on. So Sabalowski was like, yeah, it's an apartment building. It's like a Suffolk Pekuach Nefesh. A fire could start. These things could happen in a second. He's 100% right. A fire could start in a second. You turn it off. Right? Now, but technically speaking, the halacha is you can't even ask a non-Jew to put the fire out to say, can you put it out? You hint, if you put it out, you won't lose anything. That's a technical halacha. Now, how come we're so strict on Amir al-Nachri? So Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein argues, because since according to the Smag, Amir al-Nachri is do'iraisa, that's why we're so strict. That's one approach. Then he develops an idea further. He says, maybe everyone would agree with the Smag that there's a type of Amir al-Nachri which is do'iraisa. Let's say I pay the guy to do work for me. Let's say I have an employee. You know, the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva discusses, am I considered a mummer l'chal Shabbos if I keep my business open on Shabbos? I'm not doing anything. I'm a halagi yid, I'm sitting there with my strimal all Shabbos, and I'm learning, I'm shuckling, I'm doing what holy Jews do. But my business is open. People come in, and they buy, and they sell, right? So the Chassam Sofer says, no, you're in violation of terrible averis on Shabbos. First of all, Shabbos is a day of rest. The Ramban writes that there's a pasuk Shabbaton. You have to rest on Shabbos. And if you're at work all day, you're not resting. You're not resting. And then the Chassam Sofer develops the idea, in this case, it could be the non-Jews who are working for you, since they are paid by you. So everybody would agree that it's like you're doing the work. If you pay the worker, it could be worse. Now, this is a fascinating idea, because traditionally the practice used to be with Amir al-Nachri. And this, Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein points this question out. Sometimes you have a question, let's say someone asks me on a Friday night that they left the gas on. Okay, so leaving the gas on, that could be dangerous. So in theory, you turn it off, right? But if you could have a non-Jew do it for you, it's much better. Right, but how did I get a non-Jew into my apartment? So you say, Nick, you know, I got some good single malt. Nick likes single malt. Anyone notice that?
I didn't know that.
Trust me.
Now I know.
I've used this. I've used this, okay? So Nick says, oh, single malt, I'll come for a drink. Once he's coming for a drink, right, so then you'll say, by the way, can you do X, Y, and Z? So then he's really there for himself. No? Or he smells the gas himself, so he'll turn it off.
Wait a minute.
Right?
Are you talking about the gas where the pilot light has gone out?
So that could be dangerous. Let's say the pilot light went out. That could be dangerous.
Your chonk's going to get burned.
What?
Are you talking about your chonk is going to get burned?
No, not the chonk is going to get burned, but the pilot light went out. Now, that's really dangerous, but it's not going to kill you in 5 minutes. Right? You have the window open. You could get Nick, let him come up and turn it off.
Just this past Friday night, I was by some people, very firm people for dinner. Went into the kitchen to wash. I smelled a smidgen of gas.
Mm-hmm.
I put my hand on the blanket. It was
off.
It was. I said, "Oh, your pilot light went out," and the gentleman turned off.
Okay.
The gas.
Right. So, but that certainly is permitted. However, if you have a non-Jew who could do it, it's better.
You're going to fall asleep and you're going
to... Again, if you'll do it right now, we're not going to run that risk, Frida.
Okay.
We're not going to run that risk, right? We are trying to be safe.
Okay.
Right? So, traditionally, you ask a non-Jew, you say, let me offer you something to drink. He comes over, she comes over to take a drink. Wonderful. Now, is that like you're paying them for their services? If you're paying them for their services, it's a worse type of Amir al-Nachri. So, that is one idea that we can develop in terms of Amir al-Nachri, that maybe it's worse if you pay them, and therefore the minhag of offering a drink perhaps is worse. However, the practice is that people do offer drinks to the non-Jew who comes a few months ago. No. When was it? We had one time that the YU Erev was repaired right after Shabbos began. They were in the middle of fixing it, and they didn't fix Erev until after Shabbos began, and I wasn't sure that Erev was up yet. So all the people on the YU side of the Heights, right, I said, you can't carry your stuff because I don't know if the Erev is up yet. So what did I do? I say, Nick, do me a favor. Nick was awesome. Nick went around to 10 different apartments carrying everyone's keys, carrying food for people. He went around and he let people in their apartments. The man is good. Now, what do you give Nick for something like that?
A large
blue label. That's worth
blue label.
Right? I happened to have some at that time, and it wasn't the full bottle. It was a little one. It wasn't even full, but that's what I gave Nick. He was appreciative. What can we do? Now, so the issues with Amira L'Nachri is that we assume that it's a rabbinic prohibition. The reason for the rabbinic prohibition is based on some source that it looks like he is your shaliach, possibly. That's what Rashi has on Shabbos on the top of page 2. Some assume the reason for Amira L'Nachri is v'daber davar. That's what Rashi has in Avodah Zarah Daf Tesvav. V'daber davar means that when I speak on Shabbos, Yeshayahu Anavi says I have to speak differently than I speak during the week. So I can't instruct you to do malacha, because that is weekday speech. On Shabbos, I have to use Shabbos speech, no?
How about a maid?
A maid. Yeah, so that is a whole... I mean, I thought that topic is not as relevant in the Heights. I haven't gotten into it. If people want, we can talk about that. There's a lot to say. But basically, what we assume is that there's a few reasons for Amira L'Nachri, rabbinic reasons, that you're supposed to speak differently on Shabbos, and it looks like he or she is your messenger. Now, the Achronim say, if it's done, and this is in the Bir Halacha here on in Shin Zayin, let's say it's done with Amira de Amira. Let's say I tell one non-Jew, and that non-Jew tells another non-Jew. So it doesn't look like non-Jew 2 is working for me, no? Because I go, for example, and I tell the police department something happened, and the police department goes and they tell somebody else to do something, no? That doesn't look like I'm sending the person to do the work. So it doesn't look like they're my shaliach. So Amira de Amira is permitted if it was done before Shabbos. If on Erev Shabbos, if I'm doing it for some sort of mitzvah, on Erev Shabbos, right, there's no v'daber davar. It's not yet Shabbos. So the issue of speaking differently than I speak during the week doesn't apply. It's Erev Shabbos. And it's Amira de Amira. So it's not Shlichos, so that would be permitted. Okay, so far so good. Let's just talk briefly about the questions that we began with. Amira L'Nachri, you had a question?
Yeah, where's the issue for Shaliach?
Where does it say about Shaliach? So Rashi writes on the top of page 2, my time is Sharili Lamesav L'Nachri, Harehu Shlucho Lisano B'Shabbos. It's your Shaliach. And Rashi on Shabbos Kufnun Gimel saying, Amir L'Nachri is because he looks like my Shaliach.
But what's the primary source for not having Shaliach?
Oh, that's a great question. So apparently it's something like B'chol HaTorah Kula. Throughout all of Torah, there's a halacha that a Shaliach is like you're doing it. And since it looks like you're Shaliach, you can't have that on Shabbos. Now, again, we could develop this very far because Shaliach should not apply to non-Jews, etc. But for the time being, we'll just leave it the way it is. Let's just talk about a few aspects of Amira L'Nachri with people who are ill, because these are some of the questions that come up quickly. Illness comes in various and sundry forms, no? You could be ill that you just have a headache. That's called a mechush. Right? If I have a headache, I would need to take a Tylenol. Technically, according to halacha, I'm not even allowed to take a Tylenol on Shabbos if it's just a headache. Because I could function. I'll just function a little bit slower than usual. Right? So I can't even take medicine. I can't ask a non-Jew to do anything. Let's say I'm sick. Like really sick. Like I'm in bed. No? I wouldn't go to work that day. Either you have such a bad headache, or you're sick. So in that case, Amira L'Nachri is permitted if it will help you get better. Amira L'Nachri is permitted whenever you are sick, really sick. And not only is Amir al-Nafi permitted whenever you're really sick, but there's a case in Shulchan Aruch, let's say it's a cold day. Now the Gemara says, the halacha is, that everyone is considered sick when it comes to coldness. Now, let's say I know the way I wake up in the morning, right, and it's getting colder as the day goes on. I wake up in the morning, it's still not that cold, but as the day goes on, it's going to get colder and colder. I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to light a fire for me, to do a Torah prohibition, because I will be sick later on. I don't have to wait until I get sick, no? Like, I suffer from migraines. Baruch Hashem, it hasn't been so bad the last couple of years. Yeah. So I take this medicine Imitrix when I begin to get the feelings. Even on Shabbos, I have a feeling that it's going to trigger, it's going to get really bad, I take the medicine right away. Amir al-Nafi is permitted to light the fire because I'm going to be sick later on. I'm not yet sick. Right? So Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has the following case. Let's say there's an oil spill on the street. Now, if there's an oil spill, this is potentially pikuach nefesh, potentially people will get sick. Because what happens when you drive, I don't know if you've ever drove a car on oil, but you go sliding and slipping, it could be really dangerous. So I have one option, I could stand there the whole time until all the cars stop, or I could get a guy to go and clean up the oil spill. It's permitted to get a guy to clean up the oil spill, even though no one is sick yet, but they will get sick. They will get injured if they slip on the oil.
But they're driving on Shabbos anyway, in violation.
Well, let's say the non-Jews are driving on Shabbos.
So you're allowed to break Shabbos?
I'm allowed to break Shabbos for potentially saving someone the car could go skidding.
Shalom,
right? Or, yeah, absolutely. Why isn't the gas example what?
Yeah, the pilot light going out.
Yeah, the pilot light going out. Why wouldn't this be...
So the pilot light, again, I think we have to estimate the likelihood of what could happen. And when the pilot light goes out, the little bit of gas, everyone agrees it's not a problem if you get to it and turn it off quickly.
My smoke alarm is one of those super little ones.
Again,
it will go off, and if it's the winter time, especially
if I'm wrong,
you're going to have a gas buildup, and somebody is probably going to get asphyxiated. It's not going to be pretty, and you will not be happy.
Again, you have to know the realities of the situation. If let's say something happens right before the end of Shabbos, so you say, wait 5 minutes, right? You have to figure out the likelihood of things going wrong. Now, let's talk about... Now, a non-Jew is allowed to cook, to do an Isser D'Oraisa for a chola, for someone who is sick in bed. Now, that means if someone is a chola she'ein bo sakana, a non-Jew can do an Isser D'Oraisa for them. This comes up all the time. We had someone in the shul a couple of weeks ago fell down Shabbos morning, like the guy was dizzy. So Sam Benson says, go to the hospital. The guy's like, well, what's going to happen when I feel better? So it's like, you're still going to be a chola she'ein bo sakana. Let's be honest. You fell down, you're bumped your head. Even if the hospital says that... Right, it's not yesh bo sakana, but you're still going to be chola she'ein bo sakana. Chola she'ein bo sakana, Amir al-Nafi is permitted. We can assume all the cab drivers in Washington Heights are non-Jewish. Don't start off with this one. Right? I don't know any Jewish cab drivers in the Heights. Now, some other issues that come up. We paskin in halacha that every katan, every kid... And the Minchas Yitzchak says every kid until the age of 9, when the kid starts to act up, the kid has the din of a chola she'ein bo sakana. Right? You know, kids like act up, they throw...
ADD?
What?
ADD?
And then they're throwing a tantrum or something. So if you... The only way to stop is with the non-Jew doing a malacha. That is permitted. A tzorech of a katan is a... is like a chola she'ein bo sakana. Now, what about saving somebody from fear? Let's say, for example, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has the following case. There is a fellow, an older man, an older gentleman, and he's in his 90s already, and his daughter had a heart attack on Shabbos. So the daughter goes to the hospital. Can you tell him that your daughter is okay on Shabbos? Can the guy violate Shabbos and do a d'oraisa to tell him that his daughter is okay? Says Reb Yitzchak Zilberstein, that's fine. Because this guy is at least the Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana. No? And to do Amira L'Nachri for him, for the Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana, that's going to be permitted. Right? Now, what about to tell somebody that my wife had a baby and it's a boy, or it's a girl? Five rings is a boy, three rings is a girl. Can you have a guy call and do that? I don't know if that's permitted. Honestly, I don't know. Because there's no real purpose involved. What are you going to do? You know it's a boy or a girl? Very important. Very happy. Happy it's a boy, you're happy it's a girl, you're happy no matter what, but come on.
The Mishabeach?
I don't know if that's enough of a tzorach, Danny.
What about just to say that, everyone's okay?
Right, so if there's a genuine concern, if you have the type of Jewish mother who's really nervous, right, then maybe there's ground to permit it. Because of, it's like a chol she'im bo sakana, because of the nervousness. But short of that, I don't know. Short of that, I don't know if it can be permitted. So the case that we began with tonight, this person from the shul who sent me an email right before the shiur. So what's going to happen? She's in a place, right? She's far away, in a different country, actually. And her mother's having surgery. What's she going to do? It's already Shabbos for her when her mother has surgery. Is there any purpose in knowing? If there's a purpose in knowing, right? Or if you're genuinely worried it will relieve you somehow, that's one thing. But I don't know if in this case it would be permitted to do Amira L'Nachri, to have someone call, right, for what purpose? And certainly what this woman was asking, I guess I just divulged the gender of the person asking the question, but what this woman was asking is, like, can she have her phone on, right, and like look at the phone, like if she gets a text that mom is okay or whatever. I don't know if that's...
What is she doing? What is she doing?
Well, no, you push a button to see the text or something, right?
I mean, she doesn't have to...
It vibrates when the text comes and you push the button. The problem is that my phone also vibrates whenever I get an email. My phone vibrates... I guess
why
should
she consider a Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana?
I don't think she would be. I don't think the daughter is a Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana. In a case, if it would be the reverse case, that the daughter is sick and the older mother, that's already different. Right, just like young children are Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana, older people are Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana.
Oh, you're saying just because it wasn't Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana because of the emotional distress, which is the age.
Right, well,
I mean, I think the combination of the age with the emotional stress makes you a Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana.
Why is Chol always defined by physical health? If somebody is emotionally extremely anxious, and it's very difficult.
So if someone is genuinely very anxious, so Yitzchak Zilberstein is Mekal, like you're called a Chola because of that. The Sefer V'chai Bohem, I have in my notes, feels that he's not Mekal on that. I think you could be Mekal for emotional distress. Also, Nachum Rabinowitz is Mekal on that as well. But the question is, I think emotional distress is only because it could lead to physical. I know what a Chola is. Chola means I can't function normally. I become ill. Sometimes the emotions carry over that I become physically unwell. That would be the concern. That's my understanding. So these issues of Amira L'Nachri for a Chola are actually very important. But as a general rule, again, if it is a bona fide Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana that you wouldn't go to work, you'd stay in bed, you allow Amira L'Nachri even to do a d'oraisa. Right? So the guy can drive you back from Columbia Hospital. Right? Amira L'Nachri to do a d'oraisa is permitted. That is the basic halacha. And God willing, next week we'll continue with more discussions of Amira L'Nachri and how it's relevant for life in the Heights.